I got a call today after the morning sermon from a missionary who is in town. His wife called us. He said, "We can't believe what we heard," she said. "We are going to the mission field, and we've been visiting churches after churches, and we cannot believe the courage to preach with such a tremendous insight." They said, "We want to visit your church and share our heart to you." So they're going to come and see me on Tuesday. They say, "What's so encouraging?" And they were driving from here all the way to San Jose. I thank God for the increasing of power that now San Jose will clearly hear. He said, "We cannot believe." My husband was bursting, "Amen, amen, amen." He said, "He cannot believe," a pastor will say. Then we realized it was a foreigner. She said, and we wondered if we have learned right. So she called to find out. I said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Well, where are you from?" So "I'm from Minnesota." "Oh, you are from the country of Minnesota?" I said, "I'm from the country of Argentina." And we are exactly 9,000 miles away from one place to the other. But it's just so beautiful to know. She said, "When you know God right, everybody is right. Everything you think is right." And it was so beautiful to know the missionary was encouraged by the way already. Tonight, we go in the scriptures in the book of Ezekiel. Here, rather than the shepherd, should be the Jehovah, as our brother read this morning. The Jehovah of Israel, or the Jehovah of the Old Testament. I failed to write that and to put it together. But we're going to see Jehovah, Jesus, as Jehovah in the Old Testament. And I'm going to see if our brother read correctly. Oh, I got this from my heart. That's beautiful. I want to see, Grace, give it to me. I want to see if you remember. So far, we are in the evening service trying to discover Jesus in the Old Testament. All right, let's roll the introduction. Now, first, they come in this serious progression, the book of Genesis. And in the book of Genesis, Christ is the seed of the woman. Now, in the book of Exodus, Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb. In the book of Leviticus, the high priest of the sacrifice. In the book of Numbers, the brazen altar, the brazen serpent. And in the book of Deuteronomy, the prophet of God. Remember, hear him. And then in the book of Joshua, the savior of my soul. In the book of Judges, the judge and the lawgiver. In the book of Ruth, the king's redeemer. Some books are easier to remember than the others. First and Second Samuel. Samuel prayed a lot, so Christ is the intercessor. In the book of First Kings, Second Kings, Chronicles, they're all one package. Christ is the reigning king. All right. In the book of Ezra, he's the faithful scribe. In the book of Nehemiah, he's the builder of the wall. In the book of Esther, somebody greater than Mordecai. In the book of Job, the healer of our soul. In the book of Psalms, I took Psalm 23. You can take hundreds of pictures for the shepherd, all right, the shepherd of Israel. And then in the book of Proverbs, he is the wisdom of God. Then in the book of Ecclesiastes, we study this tonight, is there fear? Fear of God. The young people study tonight the serious business that you can be a doctor, you can be a technician, you can be what you want to, you can live in any place you want to, but the key in life is the fear of God. Okay? All right. Now, the son of Solomon, the bridegroom. In the book of Isaiah, he's the Messiah of Israel. In the book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentation, he is the weeping prophet. Beautiful. Now I know you know very well. All right. Now, let's talk about the discussion that we have. The topic discussion is this. The book of Ezekiel and its relationship to the Lord Jesus. In other words, what we're going to study tonight is we're going to pick up a chapter in the book of Ezekiel. It will be chapter 34. And see how these relate to the Lord Jesus. Now, we do this because there is a general information. And let's see, Luke 24:27. Jesus talking to two people, all right? Let's look on it. Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and the very last chapter, in verse 27. In chapter 24:27, he's talking to two people. And these two people were confused because Jesus died, and now their hope died. And Jesus was walking with them, and they never noticed that Jesus was there. And for them to wake up, Jesus used the scripture. Look at verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You see, the scriptures are talking about Jesus. Now, in verse 44, he's talking to 11 disciples. And those disciples, they were arguing, especially Thomas, how can you see Jesus? And look at verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophet, and in the psalm concerning me. In other words, the entire package of the scripture speaks about the Lord Jesus. Now we move from Luke to John chapter 5, in chapter 5, verse 39. And in chapter 5, verse 39, we find that Jesus talking to doctors of the law. And he said these words to these doctors, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are which testify of me. So in here he said the scripture speak about me, all the scriptures speak about me, and here to the Pharisees he said, all the scriptures, you are doing well in searching the scripture, because all the scriptures speak about me. The key, the most wonderful text is Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7. Now, that's the crown of life for me. And that's what I got the idea of the topic. In Hebrews, in chapter 10, the book of Hebrews, in verse 7, the Bible tells us that these words, and then said I, lo, I come. Look at where Jesus come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. All right, Anthony, how many books in the Old Testament? 20? How many books in the Old Testament? Books in the Old Testament. How many? 39. 3 times 9, 27. 27 in the New Testament. Total of books, 39 by 27, plus 27? 66 books. And now, look at here. In Hebrews 10, and in verse 7 said, in the 66 books of the Bible, you can find Christ. And that's what called my attention to do this work, to find Jesus Christ. All right. Now we go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, the specific information. All right. We go now to the specific information about Jesus in the book of Ezekiel. Now, the key thought of the book. All right. The key thought of the book is Ezekiel, chapter 1. In verse 3, put one hand in 34 and go into Ezekiel chapter 1 in verse 3. That number 204 is not the page of the Bible, but is the time that the word Lord is used in the book of Ezekiel. Like this, just capital, Lord, okay? That means, you know, when the King James used the word Lord, in Spanish is Señor. When they use that word Lord, it means, what the word means? Jehovah. That's what I got, Jesus, the Jehovah of the Old Testament. Look at in verse 3, all right? In verse 3 said, the word of the Lord, you see in capital? The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel. 204 times in the book of Ezekiel, I counted again to be sure. I'm not speaking some... I read, so I counted myself, 204 said the word of the Lord, Jehovah, all right? In other words, Jehovah is presented as Jesus himself. And so Ezekiel is a book that emphasizes the theme that Jehovah is speaking. Jehovah is doing the work. That's the key word. And then let me give you just a briefing. Now, God is functioning as a shepherd in Israel, as Jehovah himself. In as a shepherd, he seeks for his people. Now we turn to Ezekiel 34. As Jehovah shepherd of Israel, he seeks for his people. Look at it in chapter 34 and in verse 11. For thus said the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. Wow. God is saying, I will seek out my sheep. I will look for them. Look in verse 12. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he's among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. You know, Ezekiel was a man who was in the captivity, in the 70 years of captivity. He was a Chaldean. And the Jew thought that they never will come back to Israel. But Ezekiel write down and said, God will seek his people and bring them back. So later on, you have Nehemiah and Ezra where they come back. But Ezekiel prophesied and said, God will bring his people. God will seek them. I don't care if they are in Iraq or in Iran or wherever they are in captivity. God will bring them back. Let's look for a spiritual meaning of this in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, verses 1 to 4, you find the meaning of this. Jesus said in John 10, verse 1 to 4, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entered not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbed up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber, but he that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he call his own sheep by name and lead them out. You see that? And he call his own sheep by name and lead them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And so the first point is drawn in the book of Ezekiel is that God seek for his people. Doesn't matter where they are. So here we have families. Some of our families are unbelievers. Some of our families at this present moment, they are not of God. And you study today in Romans. If these people belong to God, we can pray and God will reach them and bring them in. What a great God we have. They have the power to get our brothers, our sisters, our cousins, our parents, if they're not believers. We can pray because we don't know who God has in mind. So our job is not to distinguish God will save these and will not save the other. We can pray because in my mind, everybody is a potential for God. And we bring, and God, if that person is in God's hand, God will bring them in exactly as the Old Testament. Now point B. As a shepherd, he will feed his people. In Ezekiel 34 and verse 13. As a shepherd, God will feed his people as the Jehovah. Look at verse 13. God bring them in, and what a God will do. I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountain of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. God is going to feed his people. Now, that's why I am careful that when you come to this church, whether it's in the morning, Sunday school, afternoon classes, or evening, you get fed with the Word of God. Because that's the work of a shepherd, all right? In other words, you can go home with a lesson from the Scripture. And now look at how Jesus feed his people. Let me show you how in Matthew 5. You remember the Sermon on the Mountain in Matthew 5, how Jesus gathered the people and feed them as a shepherd? In Matthew 5, verse 1, And seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, that's feeding, and taught them, saying, and you remember the Beatitude, blessed are the poor in the spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in the heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for there is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manners of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophet which are before you. So Jesus fed the people. Now, amazing enough, let's go to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 17, the last verse of the text. And look what the Bible said about the Lamb of God in heaven. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, even in heaven. You know, when I found that verse, it brought comfort to me. I thought, well, I'm going to bring a lot of questions for Peter and a lot of questions for Jesus that I found in the Bible. I don't need to. Look at what the Bible said. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into the living fountains of waters. Now, that's our future. That's the future of heaven. That is a remarkable state of mind. So the shepherd, Jesus, as the shepherd, as the Jehovah, is going to feed his people. He's going to seek his people, and then after he finds his people, he's going to feed his people. All right? Now, there is a point C. And point C is, as a shepherd, he will give his people rest. Look at Ezekiel now again. In chapter 34, verse 15, as a shepherd, he will give his people rest. Verse 15 in Ezekiel 34 says, I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lay down, say the Lord. Wow. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lay down. Have you been worried sometimes and concerned? And finally, you go to the Word of God, and you find a text that spoke to you. And then you can't explain it, but you just relax upon the Lord. Now, we know the text in Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11 and in verse 29, Jesus invites these people. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. You're wonderful. For those who listen to the tape, did somebody give me water? That's all. All right, now hear this, Matthew 11, verse 29. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in the heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. You know the conflict I have been in radio after 29 years of service, I was blocked for service. And I tell you, it goes into your mind a crisis. You first think on you, why, what I did wrong. Is any sin in my life that God's taking this away? But when you check all the points and you put all things in the balance, I have a job to do. I have to preach Christ. And if these people block me here, then God in his mercy have provided a place here, a refuge for me, have provided here. And then you come to the conclusion that you rest. God has taken away the glory of the whole world and give you a place that can be the glory of the whole world if we use it properly. Because see, we're preaching Christ. And so it's fantastic to know that once you understand Christ and submit to his will, then rest even now come upon your life. And so believe me, I thank God that he feed Israel. When you are fed in the word of God, rest come upon you. You don't have to wrestle anymore. You know, some people call me and say, I imagine how you feel. I feel great. I finish at 6 o'clock, 6:10 I'm in my home. For the first time, I'm putting waters in the plant at 7 o'clock in the night. For the first time, I can go and shoot some golf balls on Monday. You don't know the 29 years of two jobs, how crazy it is. For the first time, I can sit and visit somebody and listen and talk and share. It's just fantastic. And all the other glorious business has gone away, and it doesn't affect my heart because you rest upon the feeding of God. Believe me, it's a great ministry of the Lord Jesus. Then as a shepherd, he will have compassion for his people. That's something that we need to imitate. In Ezekiel 34 and verse 16 says, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. And I will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. And I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. In other words, God is in business of having compassion for his people. And you don't know the brokenhearted people. Family Radio cannot cancel anymore because I withdraw purposely my license as a clinical psychologist because I don't know what they're going to say. So if they answer, they are by themselves. And so when people call, say, I'm sorry, we cannot do it. Where is Pastor Otero? Oh, we cannot do it. Somewhere, somehow, people get this phone here. Some people in panic. And here is an emergency call also to 408-390. And so people follow me through in the 390. And I listen, oh, Pastor, I'm from Brooklyn. Then I know it's the radio, so I don't have to answer. But you know how many times a person calls? 17 times. And the Bible said, and I remember one of the parables of Jesus. He said, what father, after a child go 4 or 5 times, says, all right, you want bread? Here's bread, and get out of here. He said, you have to pray in that way. I said, well, this guy called 17 times, paid for his call. I'm going to answer his call. So I called it last night. He said, are you in Brooklyn? He said, yes. Where are you, Pastor? He said, I'm no longer on the radio. Oh, no, no. He said, well, no, don't tell me that. He said, I'm unsaved. I need to be saved. A fantastic call. So I said, well, I had the time of my life, and I led him to the Lord. Fantastic. He got wrong information that he cannot be saved, or this or the other. He cried on the phone. Fantastic. He said, well, I don't know what to do. I said, go to Calvary Baptist right there. Just take these buses. I know the place. So I said, take these buses. Go to Calvary Baptist on Sunday. Tell the man you find the Lord. The church will take care of you. Isn't that fantastic? And I was so glad to have compassion for people. And God sends someone that he knows. I love to lead people to the Lord. The Lord is prepare everything. And when he said, you know, I need to be saved. I said, what? Well, how many times you get a call like that? And people call you. You need to be saved. 17 times. So he said, I was desperate. I was desperate. Because he was confused by what he heard on the radio. But he knew. So where's the pastor? Where's the pastor? So what a responsibility for us, pastor, for you Sunday school teachers. What a responsibility to teach it right. Because people is going to draw from you. You don't know, ladies who teach the young people, how much they learn. I learned it from Danielle, who tells me what she learned and so on. And that's a picture of everybody. You are the focus of attention, so you prepare well, simple, and Christ-centered. And they will remember that they learn about Jesus. And you maybe go out of the picture, but for God, not, because our work is not in vain. All right? So as a shepherd, he do all of this. All right. Now, what is the message of Ezekiel? All right. The message of Ezekiel is in chapter 36, verse 24. And I copy the text right there for you. Here's a great message to the nation of Israel. Here is what God is saying in chapter 36, verse 24 and verse 25. God said these words, for I will take you from among the heathen, and that's we all been, and gather you out of all the countries. That's what Christianity is. I looked this morning, Japanese, Korean, Chinese. Mrs. Mayor, Mayor said to me, I said, oh, you brought your pianist. And she said to me right there, she said, you know, Pastor, I'm from Korea, and she's from China. And Korea and China, we are super enemies and we hate each other. But here she's going to play for me and I'm going to sing about Christ. It made me cry to see the reality that Christ can put the nations together. You know, we who are in this country, we don't see that tension in other countries. And to see that Christ has put that together. And she said to me, it was the greatest joy to sing and a Chinese is playing for me. And then I was looking around, here's a Japanese. You know, Nobuko and the choir. So he said, I bring you from all the countries. I will bring you unto your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you and ye shall be clean. In other words, God's going to touch you with his presence from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and I will cleanse you. And here's the key. A new heart also will I give. All right? And a new spirit will put within you, what we talked this morning about, don't kill the spirit. And I will take away the stony heart, thank God, out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. In other words, God is going to change everything to help you. Now, what verse that remembers you in the New Testament? They say, we are a new creature. What is it? 1 Corinthians? Or 2 Corinthians 5:17. I think it's about 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's look on it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 will make a summary of this. I think, Anthony, we got it right. Let's see, Anthony. 5:17. Is that the text? Yeah. Okay, read it for me, okay? Listen to Anthony, 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Okay, a new creature then is all of this, all right? We have a new spirit, we have a new heart, and the old heart went away. No excuse not to behave like a Christian and walk like a Christian, because God has equipped us in this way. Is Jehovah so good? Go one backward. When I see this, when I see that he's sick for me, that he feed me, that he put me to rest and have compassion for me, let's do the same for others in your Sunday school class and whatever ministry you do in the church. Do it with the joy of the Lord. Now, this one, I came early again, and I prefer the chocolate and all these, and I enjoy it. And I don't know what happened. I just finished all, put the blowers on, and I got a stick. I don't know where I was, a stick in the floor. And I was just playing like this on the parking lot, like this, you know. And here's a police car coming in. I said, how is playing this guy? I'm the pastor of the church. You know, all with the sweater and the blower in the other hand. I'm glad the guy recognized me. He said, Pastor, are you okay? Yeah, he said, I just enjoyed it in the morning. And he said, oh, yeah, you're incredible, he said. And he left, you know. And so because time he comes, I give him coffee and things. They're checking on us free of charge. They're going around and so on. And how wonderful it is. God do all of this for us. Hey, let's do the service for God. He will do this. Last week I was a little depressed. I need to do the dental work on the top and don't want the church to pay. So I want to avoid it. The doctor called me, said, you need it. We need to rebuild the arch. It's caving in. So I went to see him and said, you know, I got no money. He said, well, who told you? I said, well, I just pulled out $5,000 from you. See, and it's going to take a year and a half to 2 years to do this work, but it's going to be very low. And I shared that a little bit with Victor. And he said, well, God, told me Victor, God is big. And I went the next day and said, doctor, we're going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to pay, but we're going to do it. He said, all right, I schedule you. And the surgery is going to be on the 24th. We're going to pull this out and measure. And I was a little afraid of the tedious work. They use the hammer now heavy on this. And they pull this out, they measure, they inject things in. You get no cow for 2-3 hours after. But I said, I do it. He said, well, when you get the money, you bring it in. You don't have to worry. He said, sign here that you owe me this, go on your way. It's just fantastic. God is big. God is big. I mean, God is big. And he did all of this. It's more difficult to change your heart than to collect $40,000. Because the heart only God can change. So let's encourage ourselves. We have a great shepherd. and a great Jehovah who is able to pull us through. And may God help us to get excited to do one thing, to preach Christ to the nations. And God will do the rest. Thank you, Father, that you are a mighty and solid God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for Ezekiel, who tells us that you are able to pick up the people in captivity in the Chaldean territory and bring it back. Thank you that you took us from sin and you brought us back into the kingdom. And now, Father, help us with compassion to bring others into the kingdom of God. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless.